We play for keeps, Cuddy. You ain't heard about the huddle fire with no with D-Lane. We tryna get it off the muscle. Walters caught the pick and ran it back without a tussle. Blow the whistle, coach, it's time to get back to the huddle.
Welcome to the 510 Huddle Podcast. It's your boy, Coach D-Lane. Again, in with my brother. It's a special day today for my guy because it's actually his birthday. Keaton McCoy, how you doing today, brother?
What's good, brother? Thank you. Appreciate that.
What's your turn, 26?
Yeah, man, 26, man. I'm getting up there now.
We're getting up there, bro. We almost we're about 2 years removed from being 10 years removed from high school, man.
Bro, straight up. It's crazy, honestly. I can't even fathom that. Like, I'm still talking about stuff like it happened yesterday when it's been like 8 years and shit. I'm like, holy fuck.
Tell me, man, this shit is crazy. You do anything special or anything in particular today for your birthday?
It was just a normal day for me, but I'm celebrating next week at a music festival, so that'll be fun.
Okay, that's what's up, man. All right, well, let's dive into it, man. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. It's still ranking season for us. You know, last time we covered quarterbacks. This time we're going to cover the guys they throw the ball to. Another thing we should do in the future, I was thinking about, is duos. We should do that, too, after we get the other positions. 100%. Yeah, after we get done with the other positions we want to do, we'll do, you know, like top duos or whatever. Yeah, let's start there, man. We got other stuff on the docket, but let's start with wide receiver rankings. What's your philosophy, brother? You know me, you know. So,
yeah, for sure.
So let me say this, because, you know, before, like I said, with quarterbacks, I'm really big with resume.
Yeah.
Corner and I'm still big on resume, but corner and receiver are two positions where it's a little more year to year for me personally.
Yeah, it is.
But in receiver, more so, I feel like it's more stylistic as far as what do you want to fit in your scheme. You want a big body position, a possession receiver. You want a route runner. You want a guy that can blow the top off the back end of the defense. Like, what do you want? A speed guy, a gadget guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So receivers are basically a basketball team. You can't have an offense with only one type. You have to have a different style. So I'm very different with how I view it. I mean, as you'll see with these rankings, I value more so physical traits and what you can do with the ball. Okay. I like playmakers, and you'll see that because I'm going to shock a lot of people. I bet you will.
I like playmakers too. I'm big on quarterback though. I'm big on quarterback and what you can do with or without. So we'll get into it. Last time, brother, I believe we started from the bottom and went up.
You
want to start from the top this time and let's go down? You want to start at one and work our way down? Or you want to start from the bottom and go up again?
Let's do the bottom, but okay. Also one last thing.
What's up?
I think too many people, when it comes to receiver, I think fantasy football has too big of an influence now.
It does.
Everybody just like said, whoever leads the league in catches is like the best. I'm like, that was never the case.
Like the year Mike Thomas had like 140 or something like that.
And I was like,
crazy season, but he wasn't the best receiver.
Yeah, I when I was hearing that, I was like, wait, what? Like he wasn't in the top five receiver. Like the last year, and now he's number one.
We'll have a lot of fantasy talk coming up here soon too on the pod.
All right, so
You want to go back and forth? You want to go through your list, and I go through mine. What you want to do?
I said we go back and forth.
Let's go. You up first, brother? It's your birthday. Number 10.
Shit, number 10. This is gonna be very controversial.
I feel like I know who you about to say. You disrespectful. So, all right, go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
All right. So for full disclosure, I do really like this guy. He's still really good. But I just value other guys more at this juncture. So for me personally, and I will put Terry McLaurin.
Okay. Never, I thought you was going. Okay, never mind. That's cool. That's cool.
The only reason I don't have him higher is because, as you'll see with my next guy, his body of work and his consistency, I do have to value that a little bit. Terry is a young guy, but even with his speed, explosiveness, I do think as like an overall receiver, he is a little bit more limited compared to other guys. But I just think that his overall speed, his like explosiveness, and his leadership, like he is a dog, like, and he is a leader of men too, and that's rare. So
that's one of your OU, his brother.
Yeah, it is. So I have him 10. Okay. I just think that he's a special player.
I'll say this. I'll speak on Scary Terry in a little bit. I got Terry McLaurin a little higher. I got him in my list, but let me go with my number 10. This might shock some people. I don't know.
Nah.
Generational freak. I got to put DK there. Okay. I need to see DK just do it. You know, this year, this year will say a lot for me about DK. Got your money now. You know, Russ is not there no more. Russ is arguably top three in deep ball as a deep ball passer over the last decade. So I just want to see, are you really that alpha? Are you really that dog? Can you do it like a D-hop with any quarterback? You know, it don't matter who his quarterback is. Another one, a sneaky one, he's not in my top 10. He's definitely not in yours. Maybe a few years ago, but Brandon Cooks is another one with like 8 consecutive 1,000. Yeah, 8 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons or something like that with just ran hella different quarterbacks. But that's when you know a guy's legit. So I'm going to put DK there. I definitely feel like if he has a big year this year, he'll definitely slide up that or move up the rankings for me.
All right. Respect it.
Respect that.
Yeah, 100%. Fantasy football is going to hate me. And I just have to push back a little bit on this guy. Again, I value other things more than what he brings to the table, which is fantastic still. Honestly, and I'll be honest, I think he could be a little low. But when I was breaking it down for me, I just think this is where he really is at, and I think his quarterback made him a little bit more, and that is new Las Vegas Raider Davante Adams. I got him 9.
That's who I thought you had at 10. That's and not having them at 9 is just still disrespectful. Go, you got any more to say? That's blasphemy. I can't believe it. That's crazy.
So this is my reasoning. Like I said,
you feel like his quarterback made him.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Because
like him and Derek Carr wasn't doing numbers in college, but all right.
Yeah, Aaron is such a special thrower and where he puts the ball perfectly every time. And I value run after catch. He's not great at that. I would rather have a guy who, as you'll see in these rankings, who's not as great of a route runner, but when they get the ball in their hands, like, it's a wrap. Like, I like guys that can just take it to the house at any time.
You like that, guys?
I do.
Okay. I love Robert.
Especially in this day and age with, like, the spacing and the rules and all that. I still think he'll be great in Las Vegas, but I do think that number one receiver in pro football title that, like, many people have him at, I do think that's going to take a ding, and it won't be because of him. I just think, like, his numbers aren't going to be as crazy because he doesn't have Aaron.
I personally don't think his number – it's going to be a little bit of a drop-off. But I honestly don't believe it will be that much of a dramatic drop-off just because of the nature of him and Derek Carr's relationship. They've been buddies since going back to college, and I've seen over the off seasons over the last few years them working out just randomly, you know, just bros working out on the off season type deal. Davante catching for him, so this duo chemistry. It won't be nothing new to build. You know, they're building off something that started what like 12, 15 years ago when they were in college. So
for me, it's not just chemistry. It's just Derek is underrated and he's really good. But Aaron is just different.
Yeah, Aaron's different, but when you got a route runner like Devontae, Derek is accurate. That's one of his good traits. No, like he's a good aggregator. He's not putting balls in windows like Aaron Rodgers, but.
But that's part of what makes Devontae is those tough back shoulder catches.
The tough catches, I'll say.
It's just going to be tougher for him now.
Within the last 2-3 years, brother, I'm going to say within the last 2 years, I see separation with Devontae. Like, Devontae just routing early on until A-Rod, you know, putting the ball. And A-Rod still does that just because that's how he plays the game. Saying, like, he makes it hard on himself, just like Pat Mahomes does sometimes, you know.
They're going to
try shit. But, I don't know. I just believe it's going to be a little bit of a drop-off. But I'll say Devontae. I mean, Waller's still there. You got Renfro. You got and Jacobs. You know, they got other weapons.
Adams could argue
between 70 and 80 catches, and he should have
13.
He should have at least 1,300 yards with like 6-7 touchdowns. At least 1,300 yards. At least he should. At least I think it'll be a solid season with the other weapons, considering the other weapons around you.
Yeah, these are the best 1,300 and probably 8.
Brother, he never had no weapons like this with him in Green Bay. These weapons are way better than the weapons he had around him in Green Bay. At least
it's true. I'm totally cool with anyone saying like he's way too low. It's fair. I'm just saying like I value other things than what he brings. But what he brings is still great. So
He's not like top five or probably not even top 10 as far as guys you'll think of off the top of your head with that you'll take with the ball in his hand after catch. Yeah. But he ain't bad, brother. You make it seem like he Devontae's solid yard with the yak. He's not like a Debo or a Tyreek or nothing like that. But we'll get into it. My number 9. That was never your number 9, right?
Yeah.
Disrespectful. Oh my God, Devontae. That's crazy. Our list is totally different. Excuse me. My number 9, again, like I said earlier, it's a little bit year to year for me, but I do value resume. I got to go with Mr. Consistent with Mike Evans, man. 8 straight years of 1K seasons, 1,000-yard receiving seasons. Got to respect it. Done it with Brady, the GOAT, and he's done it with Jameis. While leading the league in turnovers and interceptions. So I got Mike Evans at number 9.
I have Mike Evans at 8.
8?
Yeah.
All right,
he's 6'5" and he runs 4.44 and there's almost nothing that he can't really do. He plays strong and like I said, he runs 4.4 but he doesn't look it. So he's deceptively with that speed. Yeah. He's been underrated. And honestly, I thought about putting him higher. But again, like I value him like the run after catch stuff.
It's a
he's
more good. Young, explosive talent right now.
Yeah. But he's good with it. But yeah. I value some other guys more.
Cool. 8, my 8, I got Debo. I got Debo at 8, man. I like Debo. Still young. Still believe he's developing his craft, especially at the receiver position. Know that you used them more like a Swiss Army knife last season, Kyle Shanahan and the crew. But I have seen improvement, especially in the route running and just as an overall receiver each year in his first what this is going on to his fourth year now, brother.
Yeah.
Like his fourth, fifth year.
Fourth year.
Yeah, you can put him anywhere on the field. Not many in the league can do what he can do with the ball in his hands. I got Debo number 8 just because, like I said, he's not the most polished receiver as far as he's more like a playmaker. If I was building a roster or a receiving core, I would start with like that big body possession guy that can run routes but can catch like a Devontae Smith. That's the type of guy I like, you know, coming out of college, you know. Anquan Boldin type guy, Larry Fitzgerald. Like, I'm going to start with that as my ex. And then the very next type of player I will go get is like a Debo, a Swiss Army guy, a guy I could put anywhere on the field. That'd be, you get what I'm saying, brother?
Yeah, I love 100%.
Debo. Yeah.
I love Debo too, and he's much higher on my list. But My next guy is seven. AJ Brown.
Okay. You got more respect for my boy than I do. I like
it. It's actually DJ Moore. I have DJ Moore next.
Oh, I thought you said AJ Brown.
No, I did, but he's actually my next guy after that.
Oh, okay. So seven. Who's your seven?
It's DJ Moore.
Okay, DJ Moore.
He's so good after the catch, and he's so good with the ball. Like, these guys that I have coming up, basically, excluding probably two guys, they're just weapons. Like, they're not even receivers. Like, they're just weapons. Like, he can do what Debo does. Like, he really can. Like, if he got those opportunities. I love his game. The reason people don't.
He drops the ball sometimes, but he's nice, though.
He does. I think part of that is him pressing because of the situations that he's been in since he's come into the league, since he's been there in Carolina.
Brother?
He went to Maryland.
Gotcha.
So, which is actually really cool because him, Diggs, and all those guys. So.
Trey Lance could have been his quarterback if they would have. Was it Minnesota that passed on him as a quarterback?
It was Minnesota, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was Minnesota. Not me. You said bro went to Maryland. Okay, my bad. Yeah. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, I love that guy.
So, that was your seven?
Yeah.
All right. My seven. Scary Terry, man. Gotta put some respect on Scary Terry's name. Like I said, I'll speak on him. Dog, like you said, wide receiver number one from day one. I believe he's averaging 1,030 yards a year since he's come into the league with eight different starting quarterbacks, man. Like, I value that. Like, you got a QB carousel going on. And you're still putting up numbers, that means you're a dog, man. And, yeah, so I had to put him higher than 10, just me personally. I know some people don't even have him as a top 10 receiver, but you got it in that speed. Man, they call him Scary Terry for a reason. Trust me, I know my Eagles play him twice a year. He used to do Ronald Darby as dirty. Oh, my
God. If he and DJ Moore were not where they are, everybody would be talking about them closer to top five guys, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, they're that good.
Six.
AJ Brown, like I already said it. There's not a whole lot left to be said. He's another guy. He's just a weapon. He's not the most technical guy, but he is a good route runner, and he's not a blazer, but he is just physical with the ball in his hand. Running back.
Is he like a TOU brother or no? I'm trying to get
him. He runs with TO Rage.
For my team. I love AJ. He got that dog feeling to him. But
he runs with TO Rage, but he reminds me more of Anquan Boldin.
I was going to say that too after TO. Okay, and I love Anquan. Oh, my God.
And one thing with his hands, he snatches the ball out of the air. He's like Odell when he was younger. He snatches it, and I love that.
AJ?
So, yes.
I think AJ might have a little more gas, and I think he's faster than Anquan.
Oh yeah, he is.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
That's like that's not even close.
we're on six, right? My six might shock you because the way you're going, I believe this guy may be in your top three, maybe even your number one. But again, like I said, I'm still big on resume.
Yeah.
Seen better rookie seasons. Got to keep, got to keep putting it together. I'm going to put Chase there at six. I like the young. I like him, man. I like him. But you got a young stud, GOAT quarterback, too. A young stud right there in Joe Burrow. And it's also your college quarterback. So that was an easy transition for you. But you showed your ass. You showed your ass in year one. Now do it again. Do it again. Follow it up like Justin Jefferson. I'm going to speak on Jay Jett in a second. But that's why I got him a little higher. And coming out, when they were both at LSU, you know, I don't watch much college football. I'm going to watch a lot of it this year without me coaching, taking the year off to raise the little one and focus on the pod. But, going back to college football, I've always liked Justin Jefferson just a little better, better than Chase. But Chase is a young stud, man. He has that OBJ feel to him when OBJ first came into the league. You know, that swag to him. I like Chase, Jamar Chase. I got him at number six.
Now, this is where it got really hard for me, honestly. Wow. Yeah, so this guy, I didn't know where to put him, but I knew I had to put him in this range of like 4 to 7. Because people might laugh at this, but
we might have
I'm going with Cooper Kupp, honestly. Mm. Because he finally had a quarterback. Jared Goff was okay, and I'm putting that pretty nicely. They really had to manage him and baby him a lot. Kupp always had this type of physical capabilities, but he never got the opportunity to really show it. He's so good, and his run after catch is outstanding. It doesn't look the exact same way when he's running with it, but he's fantastic with Yak, and he's clutch, he's tough. There's not a route that he can't run. He obviously is featured in the slot, but he can also play on the outside. So I have Kupp next.
Okay. Because of resume, and because of year to year, I had to have him a little higher. So I'll talk about Kupp in a second. But he's like the first Triple Crown winner since Steve Smith in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
It's not many of those, so I'll talk about him in a second.
I think it's only him, Steve Smith, Sterling Sharp, and Jerry Rice.
Yeah, since like the modern era, since like 1970. So. I think Rice did it a couple times. My number five, I had to put this guy top five. Felt like it was a slight drop off as far as just in production a little bit. I might have to look at the numbers, but I felt like at least watching it last year for this player. But I still believe he's just a top five player. I believe he's a deep ball. I love the way he's transitioned himself and transformed himself from just being a return specialist to being just a deep ball guy that could blow the top off to being a complete receiver. And I'm talking about Tyreek Hill. I had to put this guy in my top five. If you asked me maybe a year or two ago, probably had him in top three, probably a little higher. But I still love his game. And I'm just hoping and praying that Tua can get his ass the ball and they can and he doesn't have a dramatic drop off. But I got Ty Hill number five.
So he's my four.
Okay.
And he was my number one for all of those years. The reason why he's fourth now is he drops too many easy ones. You're nitpicking at this point. I mean, I haven't even said Joe Jamar Chase yet, and he had a lot of drops too. But I'll get to him later. But I think that Reek's lost a little bit, and when I say a little bit, like his little bit is still faster and still better than almost everyone, but he has lost a little bit. And he also doesn't have the most natural hands. I guess that's the best way to say it.
Yeah, because he wasn't a natural receiver. Like I said, he had a transition and transform himself. I will say I do love I do believe he's still the most dangerous player with the ball in his hands. I don't care if he took drop a step. It's him and Lamar for me as far as pure runners in the open field with the ball in their hands. Those are the top two I'm taking. I don't know about you.
Yeah, he's still top three overall for me.
Okay. That was four for you? So it's four for me now?
Yeah.
Got to put this young guy in there. I spoke on him for a quick second earlier. Justin Jefferson, man. just loved this kid since his college days. I'm going to go on the record and say this, even though I believe I said this guy was also my question mark for this team, but I thought this team would be a good, solid team and make the playoffs this year. And I'm talking about the Minnesota Vikings and Kevin O'Connell, I believe, the new head coach. He comes from the Sean McVay tree, and we all know what Cooper Kupp just did last year when he got his quarterback with Matthew Stafford. I think you say he's below average. I got Kirk Cousins like slightly above average. Like he's
No. Oh, no, he is.
I like Kirk. He's underrated. He's like in that 12 to 20 area, 15, 20 area. Like that 15, 20 area, not 12. That's a little high. 15, 20 area. Like,
no, personally, if someone said he was 12, I wouldn't think that they're crazy.
Okay. So. But him with that weapon, those two guys paired up after he had a big year last year, I expect him to have a Cooper Kupp like last year type season this year. Justin,
because he's gonna be fed.
I feel like he's gonna step into a superstar in this year. Me personally,
100%. He's gonna be fed the rock as he's gonna be in that slot, I think. And I'll get to him later.
Yeah, and that's what they did this year. More they put him, they move him all over the place, though.
Exactly. But my three is Debo. He is a weapon. He's not a polished route runner, but he's not bad. He's one of the most dangerous guys in the entire league with the ball, and you can't say this about a lot of receivers. Guys do not want to tackle him. Guys do not want to tackle him. He will run through you.
Debo would be my third. I said Tyreek Hill, Lamar. I'll probably put Debo as my third.
Will run through you. He will run over you. He will run around you. He has a total bag of tricks. I love Debo. And he has strong hands, too. He's like A.J. Brown. He snatches that ball, and there's no wasted motion. None. I love Debo. I get it if people want to say with route running and stuff like that, that's fine. Again, receivers basically just what you like. There's 20 top 10 receivers basically, but I have him third.
Number three. Who was your three again?
It was Debo.
Debo, got you. Not gonna argue there. Argue with that. I love Debo. Spoke on him earlier. I think I had him like 7 or something like that. Cooper Kupp. No, excuse me. Diggs. I got Diggs, man. I got Stephon Diggs as my number three. Resume and just changing life, man. Changing life for a quarterback that was 55% completion percentage and shoot up to damn near 70. Changed life for a franchise that hadn't won a playoff game or hadn't just been to the playoffs in like 15, 20 years. They do all that as soon as Stephon Diggs gets there. He's a dog, 4 straight 1,000 receiving yard seasons. 3 of the last 4 years has been 100 catches in a season. He's just a dog, man. And, he's also been my favorite route runner. He's been my favorite route runner damn near since he's been in the league. So, yeah, I love Stephon Diggs. I still got him top three. True.
It was so hard making this list because as I was making it, I found myself, I think, 15 guys deep. And I left him off because I didn't mention the two LSU guys. But I don't disagree.
You can't disagree. None of my points.
He's awesome. Like, he's fantastic. Like, I wanted to put him in, but
it's not many guys in there changing life, brother. He went in there and changed life for a franchise.
He did because Josh Allen, and I think people don't understand this. I don't think he had an accuracy issue. It was more so his decision making. Because he didn't have anyone. Diggs really changed life for him because he was able to lift coverage and just create separation. And Josh Allen was not trying to fit the ball between three people every time. So I love Diggs, and that's a great pick. But obviously, I have the two LSU boys at one and two, but I got Jetta at two. Special. He's a great route runner, and he's explosive. He's not the best after the catch, but he's good. He's very, very good.
Impressive.
And going back to your points this year. So his last year when he was at LSU, when he really popped off, he played in the slot. So he can be moved anywhere. So he's a great chess piece, and I think that he's going to play that Cooper Kupp role because there's not a route that he can't run, and he's fearless, and he's also a hands catcher, and he just plays with so much joy, bro. Like when he plays, he makes me smile, bro. Like he's fun.
So after all you just said, why you got Chase slightly over him? Because they're 1-2 for you. So why is Chase
not? Chase is just more explosive, and I think he can just do more. He's the type of talent for me. It's like when I saw Randy Moss as a kid, or like Odell when he was like first like coming up. Like I just needed to see him once. I'm like, yeah, not like that. That's it for me. Remember that play against Kansas City when he caught that stop route and outran the angles of six fucking defenders? Like, that's special, bro.
Keaton, I'm just going to go on the record and say this, brother, because you know I'm going to support you because you're my brother. But if you ever started a business, I would be scared to support your ass or work for you. Because your ass have no respect for resumes whatsoever.
Sometimes you
got to take a chance, bro. Recency bias, man. That young bull's a stud, but you got to do it again, man. You can't put him number one after one season, Keaton.
This
is crazy.
I used to say that too, but in this day and age, you can tell when guys really have juice like that.
You can tell
like when what guys he did,
brother.
Like no, like what that's he the did issue specifically. With
these young pucks these days, these young cats know they like that early.
Yeah, he is.
Look at Odell. Well, all I'm saying is Odell was on the Hall of Fame trajectory. Now, I don't know. None of us know. Like he. That's what I'm saying. He was smelling when he came in the league. Chase doing the same thing, which is cool. Do your thing, young bull. But you got to stack greatness and stacking years.
Well, let's keep it real with the Odell. Like
not just one season.
He had some injuries, and I don't think anyone's saying Baker Mayfield is a life changer. Baker got three pro.
You talk about somebody took
Baker
a step
got
back.
Three They'll... Pro Bowl caliber receivers cut.
Brother, you was talking. You
got three Pro Bowl receivers cut. That's all that I'll say.
I got, but I'm talking about still the way he was moving. I will say this: by the time they just played in this Super Bowl, he was definitely working himself back into regular form.
Yeah.
Second straight injury. I don't know what we're gonna get coming back, but. Him initially coming back off the first injury, he did not look the same, brother. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm sorry. It wasn't just Baker. It was both of them. And I more so feel like at the end of the day, it just wasn't enough chemistry there between the two.
No, there wasn't. But the only thing that I will say in his defense, as a receiver, when you don't get the ball early and just touch it, it's like with any position. You have to get a rhythm. And when you don't give him the ball until the third or fourth quarter for the first time, he's going to press.
Yeah.
And that's all that I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And then who's your one?
My two and one. My two is Cooper Kupp. Just, you know, I got to have some respect for what he did last year, first year with that quarterback, and for you to put that type of season together. Balled out still with Jared Goff. So I've seen you do it with a regular guy, and I've seen you do it with a pretty good quarterback. and have a monster season last year. Like I said, he was a first Triple Crown winner since like 2005 or something like that. And then I got Devontae number one. I'm sorry. I have respect for resumes. Like I said, unlike somebody I know over here that you are just, let's get off this.
He's great, but let's not act like Aaron Rodgers didn't have a lot to do with that.
Like I said, Devontae was validated this year, and I'll say this. I don't know how you feel about this statement, but Aaron gonna miss Devontae more than Devontae gonna miss Aaron. This season and moving forward. I will say, look, but A-Rod's on one track, so he could pull a Brady and join, you know, a studded team.
Look, I'm not going to be one of those people that brings up that bogus stat about how they're 7-0 without him, because that's bogus. I do think he is more important to the Packers than, like, let's say Tyreek Hill was to, like, the Chiefs, just because he was, like, their only option. But A-Rod is so great, like, he'll make it work. I don't think he'll be the MVP in terms of, like, his numbers this year. But in terms of just, like, controlling the game and, like, the pace of the game, like, he's going to figure it out.
I want to get to these college players, brother. But
yeah, for sure.
Remind me later. Let's add that to the next show. I want to talk about A-Rod and this upcoming season and who he can rely on. We're going to talk about that. Brother is heavy. My brother Keaton is heavy in the college football. Like I said, I'm definitely gonna be tapped in a little more this season. Got a little more time on my hands. But he gave me a few players to do some homework on, and I did my due diligence. Let's start with the first guy who's arguably the best player in college football. I don't even believe this kid has to, I don't believe this kid has to play.
Nope.
I mean, if he was playing for Saban, I bet you he probably wouldn't be playing, bro. Nope. I know Saban ain't going for that shit, but yeah, Will Anderson. Yep. Yeah, from what I seen on the tape, brother, quick.
Whatever you've heard is real.
Yeah, he's quick, man. He's quick. He can bend. His striking shed, his striking punch, and his block shedding is ridiculous. But that's all Bama's D linemen. I love the way they strike and shed blockers off. Has amazing speed and power on his rushes. To me, looks better. It looks like he'd be better as an NFL stand up end. But yeah, he definitely looks like he can put his hand in the dirt as well. I love the kid. He looks like a stud.
The only knock that you can say with him is he's not great with his hands. But what college kid?
I was gonna say that he doesn't
like
seem
the Bosa
super
brothers.
Brother, I was gonna say he doesn't seem super violent with his hands. That was one thing I did realize.
He's not yet. But like, what college guys can you really say that about except for like the Bosa brothers?
Bama boy. Williams, what's the other boy? Payne. Them boys usually good with their hands. I was shocked. I forgot about that. I'm surprised.
Yeah, but Tim Williams, he was just a straight like speed rusher. Like this kid is just whatever you've heard, whatever people are saying, it's real. I think he's a better prospect than Chase Young was. I think he's probably the best.
Is he better than Myles Garrett? That's a prospect?
No.
Because Myles is a freak.
No. Myles has that edge because he's that athleticism and explosiveness is otherworldly.
So he doesn't have that athleticism. Okay. Because, no. Myles is dunking on you. Myles is a freak.
That's different. I would say his athleticism is in between him and Chase Young. Like, he's in that kind of like ballpark range and like somewhere like in between. He kind of reminds me of Clowney when he was a freshman at South Carolina. When he was a freshman and sophomore before he had like the microfractures in his knee when he could really bend. Clowney.
I see Chase Young more in like a young Clowney. I don't see Will Anderson.
The reason I say Clowney is because he can bend. Like young Clowney before those microfractures in his knee, he could bend. Chase Young was more speed, power, and he couldn't really bend. And he was very good with his hands. And that's kind of showing up in the league now, where his sack production. And also, I also want to say the sacks are a little overrated in terms of, like, it's all about pressures. But it is an indicator, and Chase Young's overall pass rushing career production has been so-so. And I think that's partially because of his bend. This kid right here will come in day one and be dominant.
Gotcha.
Dominant.
Gotcha. Let's shift positions here a little bit. Let's talk about the quarterback. Is it Quinn Ewers?
Ewers.
Got you. I actually like the kid. Got the little mullet action going on, brother. Yeah. Watched him. Looks like he has a little bit of side action going on, but a quick release. Sweet feet, can move in the pocket a little bit. Not super mobile, but can move in the pocket. Was late on a few throws, but, you know, that's to be expected. He hasn't played in, what, like over a year and some change. Yeah. So I like what I've seen, though. It'd definitely be interesting to see what Sarkisian does when Archie Manning gets there at quarterback as well. So, but yeah, I do like the kid. I do like the kid.
That's why I listed him, because he's very, very talented. So he left high school early, quote unquote, even though it wasn't really early because he was 19. So he didn't play his senior year, and he went to Ohio State.
Got you.
I thought that he could have competed for the job at first. But it was too much to ask. I think he got there like 2.5 weeks before like the season started. But he's a very talented guy. Hudson Carr, he was also a highly touted recruit, so he's in a quarterback battle with him. But I do think Ewers is a little bit more gifted, and I would be shocked if like he isn't playing this year. And it's going to be interesting, because I think the kid can light it up. Will he? I don't know, because we haven't seen him play in college yet.
Yeah.
It's just going to be interesting, because this could be a Justin Fields at Georgia situation, but except Quinn Ewers is an actual NFL prospect versus Jake Fromm, and Kirby Smart cost himself a national title or two. But yeah, like, it could be interesting to really see, like, if he actually puts that job up like next year, if he can win it, honestly, because I've seen Archie Manning play.
And I was just about to ask you, Archie has one more fall, right, in high school, right? Better prospect coming out of high school, at least just high school, from what you've seen in high school, than Quinn?
I don't like to do the same helmet or this family scouting, but I'm sorry, when you watch him play and you watch what he does, he looks like his uncle's.
Yeah, he looks legit, man. The kid, like,
and he can move.
The mannerisms, everything. He looks legit,
and he can move. And he's not a statue like them, so that's another thing.
All right, let's move to another quarterback, DJ Uiagalelei.
Honestly, I can barely say it. It's. I'm not even going to try.
DJ,
anyway.
The young bull from Clemson, man. Let's talk about him.
So DJ was a highly touted prospect. He's from down here in Southern California. He went to St. John Bosco.
Yeah, I remember hearing about him.
Very talented. He has a very strong arm. I loved him as a prep star. And his true freshman year at Clemson, you got to see him spot start for Trevor Lawrence. And when I saw him play that year, I was like, Dabo's the luckiest coach in college football. You go from Deshaun Watson to Trevor Lawrence and now him. Like I genuinely thought he was going to have three straight, like, elite NFL prospects at that position.
Yeah.
And this past year, he forgot how to throw.
Nine touchdowns.
He forgot how to throw.
I was about, so brother, before you dive a little deeper, so let me tell you what I've seen, and then we can go from there.
Yeah.
Nice size and physical, you know, can run and move a little bit. Reminds me of, you know, that Josh Allen, Cam type mode when he runs. Not really a burner or twitchy. He kind of has a weird, long, quirky throwing motion as well. Kind of reminds me of
the baseball in him, because he was a high-touted baseball player too.
I was gonna say, kind of reminds me of Trey Lance's a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at the stats. And I'm like, okay, I'm watching the highlights. His highlights. I'm like, okay, I see the tools. You know, I see it.
Yeah.
And I see the stuff. I'm like, damn, 9 touchdowns and 10. I'm like, well, did he get hurt? Did he miss some games? Oh. I'm like, well, let me ask Keaton, what happened last season?
He forgot how to throw. He forgot how to throw. Clemson's receivers, they do have talent, so I don't think it was like a receiver issue. But,
I was going to ask you real quick. I was going to ask you, who's 8? Ross. I like that kid. Did he come out or is he still here? I like him.
No, he came out. I do think he probably could have returned just because he was coming off of that like serious spinal cord injury.
Gotcha.
He wasn't back. He's in Kansas City and he got hurt and he's out for the year. So that's
already. Again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
I'm gonna have my eye out for him next year. But I did like him when I was watching the DJ's highlights. But go ahead, brother. So you say
That was basically it. And then there was some talk about how kind of came in out of shape. I think he was the definition of he thought he made it before he actually made it. So I saw him again in the spring. It wasn't good again. So I do think he's going to
go into the spring. You saw the spring game and didn't think it was much improvement? That throwing motion still looks awkward.
His body looked better. Like, he was definitely in shape and he's like locked in that way. But I think he's going to come in as the starter. But I think he has a short leash this year. I think Dabo was more than fair with him last year because he didn't bench him like that.
This year, bro, you got to get it together.
Yeah, so I think he has a short leash.
Dabo got any other options?
In my opinion, no. I mean, in terms of like NFL caliber type of guys, no. But he has some guys that can be good college.
No high prospect quarterbacks. Gotcha.
They were all scared off because of him, actually. So.
Before we get to your OU kid, let me ask you about another kid because he's actually a local, and he just committed to Miami, I believe, where Cristobal is, the old Oregon coach. Rashada, what you think about him? I will say this: the kid can throw. He definitely can throw. He got the size, Keaton. He definitely got I haven't seen him in 7-on-7 for the last 2-3 years. Definitely got the size. Quick rocket arm. He looks like in the CJ Stroud mode as far as at least body wise. But anyway, what you think about that kid?
I think the best way to describe him is unique. He's a very unique player. I still think he's like a year or two away, but if he can put it together, at least as a college football player, I think he can dominate the ACC.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Let's talk. Huh?
No.
Okay. You're good. Let's talk about CJ Stroud, man. And, I'm actually interested to talk about this guy, Keaton.
Oh my.
I was watching the tape, man. And, you know, your squad got this stigma about your quarterbacks, man. You know, how these guys usually don't pan out. Damn near going back to what the Troy Smith days, probably before that. Barrett, Haskins, and so on. I'm very interested. I don't have many notes on him because I was more so like, oh, I want to see what Keaton says about this kid. Because the one thing I will say about him, because he's pretty tall. His motion actually looks, throwing motion looks the best out of the other quarterbacks I think we were talking
about. It does.
Yeah. Nice size. Like I said, what, like 6'3", 2-something. Strong in the pocket. And can throw the ball. The one thing I will say was just, or at least just, you know, on eye test, initially just watching him, he does look a little different. He looks a little different, a little more. I'm not going to say he's the best one or he's actually going to pan out, but he looks a little more special, a little more like, a little like he has a little more juice or a little different than the quarterbacks, you know, that you guys had in the past with the Haskins, the Barrett, RJ Barrett's. Yeah, man. So how do you feel about this kid? I've been waiting to hear.
So I'm in the minority with this one. And for full disclosure, I'm a diehard Ohio State fan. Like, I love my Buckeyes. I do like him a lot. I think the best part about his game is his poise and his leadership. I think that's partially why Quinn Ewers is no longer there, because he knew, like, he had the team, and Ryan Day wasn't gonna really put that job up after he kind of sees that moment last year.
He put up traditional OU quarterback numbers. It seems like if you a stud quarterback, brother, it seems like real quick. It seems like if you a stud quarterback at OU, you're due. You automatically go for 40-6. 40 yeah. Is under 10 interceptions. Easy.
I'm not. So in terms of his physical gifts, in my opinion, he's way below Justin Fields, and I don't think that's close. Dwayne Haskins, Dwayne's issue when he got to the NFL was actually maturity, as we all saw. It wasn't physical, because physically he can play. But, I mean, like, if you don't have it up here, and RIP to him, because that one really hurt. Yeah, but anyways, I don't know. Like, I'm not sold on him the way that everyone else is. I thought that his deep ball was shaky. I thought that if Olave, Garrett Wilson, and Jackson Smith and Jigba and Marvin Harrison, the second, if they all weren't getting deep and creating separation by like 10 yards, we cannot complete a deep ball.
Well, how you feel about his accuracy? Because I seen him put a couple balls in some nice windows and nice spots on the tape.
I think he has very good accuracy, and he has very good touch. He has good arm strength in terms of like the amount of yards he actually can throw. The RPMs on the ball, it's not the same as some other guys that have like elite arms, and I think that is more important. The way people talk about him being like the first pick and the draft potentially, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. Quick comparison, because you just brought him up, and not as a player in totality, but as a pocket passer, would you take C.J. Stroud or would you take Justin Fields? I believe Fields. Justin Fields, huh? Fields?
Yeah, Fields.
I believe Fields has a stronger, better rocket of an arm, but as a complete thrower, I thought Stroud was a little more
accurate. I will give Stroud this. When Fields was at Ohio State, sometimes with his delivery, especially when it came to like the short ball, he wasn't always the most accurate, because sometimes he would lose control. So I'll give Stroud that, but
his most Fields,
yeah, and that's when Fields is a base. He was a top baseball player also, so
that must
was
be another that baseball reason. Shit. That's that baseball shit, brother. Well, okay, before we move on to some other topics, can you give me two or three? I like Stroud, but now you kind of talking me off him. Can you give me like two or three quarterbacks? So if Jalen Hurts don't pan out, we all know my Eagles. We'll talk about my Eagles another day or another time. I know we have two first rounders next year. I believe we may even have two second round picks as well next year. Mm-hmm. But we're primed and ready to go get a quarterback if Jalen Hurts don't handle business. So let's just assume and say the brother don't handle business, and we got to get in the market for a quarterback, and we want to go in the draft route instead of free agency or something and trade. who's the top two or three guys we should be looking at, brother? At least coming in. They still got to play the season out. So your answer might change, you know, towards the end of the season, but at least right now coming into this season.
So for full disclosure, the best quarterback in all of college football is not eligible to come out yet. And that's Caleb Williams at USC. But in terms of guys that'll be coming out next year.
Was Caleb Williams here last year?
No. He's from Oklahoma.
That's the kid that Lincoln brought with him, right?
Yeah.
Got you. Okay. Yeah, I got you. Okay.
I like Bryce Young more than CJ Stroud. More so because he can move more. He's more versatile. He is shorter, but his arm is just as strong, if not stronger. I think he has more touch. He's just as poised, if not more. And again, when I say movement, it's not running, even though he is a better runner, but he can throw on the move, and he's better in the pocket, and he can slide, dart, and all of that. Between those two top prospects at this moment in time, I would take Bryce Young. And I think he had to, and he did more with less last year. Jameson Williams was elite, but so that was all that
Jalen Hurts all over again. If we took Bryce Young, you tell me we're not doing the Jalen Hurts.
He's way better than Jalen Hurts.
Okay, man.
A passer.
Okay, brother.
Even close. It's not even close. Bryce Young, Jalen, the one thing that they have that's like a push is leadership and poise.
Sure.
Jalen's a better runner, but everything else, that's Bryce Young, and it's not close.
Gotcha.
And then a sleeper, people will think I'm crazy because he got benched last year and he lost his job. But you can't teach arm talent, and he's coming. And what I saw at South Carolina in that spring game, he looks like he's in a good mental place and he's back. And that's Spencer Rattler.
Bro, I know you're not talking about Spencer Rattler. That's where he at, South Dakota State?
No, he's at South Carolina.
South Carolina? Okay. Bro, hell. I don't like him. Yeah. He doesn't have leadership and poise, it seems like, at least to me. When I watched him,
I think it's better than he got credit for. It's not great, but I do think that he showed a lot. I think he showed a lot because most guys of his ilk and name would have just left, and he didn't do that.
If you don't put a guy like a quarterback like that in a situation with like a Baltimore Ravens defense from the early 2000s or a LOB defense with Russell Wilson, like, you got to put a quarterback like that that's not a natural and true leader. He got to be with a veteran team that's stacked or something. But I think
part of that leadership thing was just him being immature. And, like, similar to what we were saying with Kai Calamari, when something has worked your whole life, it's hard to change. Gotcha. He's been able to just do whatever and be rated the number one guy. What I saw this spring and what his teammates are saying and what the coaches are saying, I think he's poised for a big year and that people are going to have to revisit him. I'm not saying he's going to be a first rounder, but his talent, like his just pure arm talent, it's first round worthy. And I think that those things, I think people are really going to revisit him. I really do.
Okay. Let's talk about some contracts, man. We got a couple guys that just got their paper. And we got a guy that's looking for his paper, man. So let's start with the two young bulls that got their money, Debo and DK. It's funny, I believe not even a day or two. I believe the contracts were less than a week apart, but not even a day or two after DK signed his contract first. I believe I asked somebody, I just said, you know, I love the deal, you know, 3-year deal. He's back at the table at 27 to re-up. I just wondered, would Debo do the same thing? That's what I asked this person, and they told me that they actually have the same agent. So he was like, yeah, actually look forward to DK, you know, or Debo signing something very similar. And I actually love the deal. I could see DK being okay or being career being fine with a longer contract or a shorter contract. I believe the way Debo plays, though, I love his contract for him being right back at the table in 3 years to re-up, because you never know with the physical nature that he plays with, running the football, being a playmaker and getting the football in other ways than just being a receiver. I love the contracts for both of the players. I believe it's I had the numbers. Go ahead. You can say what you
There's not a whole lot left to add. I just like that they actually signed real deals, and like they're actually going to get their money, and they didn't have that phony year at the very end that's like $40 million that like they'll never see, that like brings up their annual average. So I love that deal, especially. I think,
yeah, they both got like solid signing bonuses, right? Like
most, yeah, they got, yeah, like, they did, and I think 3 years is a good number for them.
So DK got 3 years, $72 million. He had 58 guaranteed. He got 30 of the signing bonus. Debo had 3 years, 71 and some change, including the 24,000 signing bonus and 58 guaranteed.
Yeah. The only thing for Debo is I did think he'd try to get a fourth year just because he'd want some extra security. But I'm not mad at it. Sometimes you have to bet on yourself, and I think he's a good enough player to where he can definitely take that risk.
Did you see, brother, he also got I'm not sure the exact details or the specifics on the incentives, but he has a clause, a running back clause, I believe. I think he gets a few extra racks, couple hundred racks if he gets over 365 rushing yards and more than 3 rushing touchdowns, I believe. The one question, and when you look at his numbers last year, I believe he had like 6 or 7 rushing touchdowns, so he would have eclipsed that. I think he missed, if you go off his numbers last year, he would have missed the rushing incentive by just a little bit. But if you include the playoffs, he would have got it. So that's my one question mark. I'm not sure. Are they including the playoffs on those running back incentives? How you feel about the running back incentive?
I actually love that. But I don't know what to believe with him because he won't really answer it. But I do think that that was something that was bothering him, that he wasn't being compensated for that, because Debo, just like DK, which is insanity to me, were not first-round picks. They were second-round picks. And, shit, was Debo even a third? He was either third.
Second-round. Yeah. Eagles passed both of them up.
Yes. That draft is, anyways, I love it. For him, especially, and he's earned it.
Yeah. I have, you got anything else on those two guys?
Nah.
Cool. Let's talk about another one we kind of added real quick here late. I wanted to touch on Deshaun Watson. And not really the cases. Me and Zay kind of touched on that stuff. Yeah. Pods and dived not too deep, but touched on some stuff. But I more so just wanted to talk about image and moving forward, man. And what does that look like for him? Like, what do you think that looks like? Do you see the Cleveland Browns fans ever embracing him, ever letting that go? Or will he ever forever have this stain on his jacket?
I think in totality he will, just because of the volume. If it was And I don't want to be glib and sound like this is no big deal. But if it was like two, I would just say winning cures all. And it'd be like Ben Roethlisberger, where if he won a Super Bowl for that city and just fans everywhere, like Ben, if you mention that thing, people are like, wait, what? And or they get mad. I think with Deshaun, it's going to be more so he's going to have to win a lot, but this will never leave him. Like, his reputation's up, especially when in the judge's ruling, she said that he did it. She said that he was guilty of the things that he was accused of.
Conduct. And, I think she said, like, he was, for conduct.
In the four cases that was presented to her, she said that he was guilty of all of those allegations in those four cases. But I do think at the end of the day, if you perform and you win and time goes on and you stay out of the news, they won't forget, but it'll become less of his story as time goes on. It's going to follow him forever because he's never going to get his good name back, but just because like the volume and all like the other weird stories. But I think as time goes on and he wins and he returns to what I think he is, people are just, like it's sports. People are going to, in large part, move past it.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I will say this last thing. I do think no matter how his career ends, because he's a Hall of Fame talent, I think that no matter what he does, he'll have a hard time getting in. So I'll say that because all that's going to be brought up.
Yeah. Kind of piggyback off what you said right there at the end. At the end of the day, I just believe he will have that stain on his jacket till the end. It is what it is, man. Poor judgment. You put yourself in that position. Like you said early on in your statement, the volume, you know, that's a lot, you know. One or two, you know, he say, she say. But when you got that many, man, that's a lot of cases. And just simply, if anything, you got to be remorseful for just putting yourself in that position, man. And got to be, especially if you're supposed to be the leader of the franchise. And I love Deshaun, man. I loved him coming out of college.
High school, dude. Like, he...
Yeah.
Legend.
I know you've been tapped in with him. I've been a fan of the kid before all this stuff happened. I'm still gonna be a fan because at the end of the day, he didn't get charged criminally, and nothing. He wasn't found guilty on no criminal charges. So I say let the man. Another thing, not just image. We touched on that, but I also wanted to ask you how you felt about the. The last pod, I believe we were still waiting on the ruling. The judge came back, gave him a 6-game suspension the other day. Today, the NFL just appealed that decision. But I never felt the mind frame of giving him a year. It looks like the NFL want to, you know, just either shoot for more games or go for the year. But I just feel like, man, he sat out the whole year last year. Like, I know he got paid. He was on the commissioner exemption list or whatever. But, I mean, he did stay away from football activities and didn't play. He was suspended from his job at the end of the day, regardless if he got paid. I always was in the mode of anywhere between 4 and 8 games just because he sat out all last year.
So, this is playing out the way that I thought. Like I told you, I thought it'd be 6 games, and then I thought that they would appeal it. The thing is, he wasn't on the exempt list last year. The Texans basically just paid him to basically cooperate and like not come on the field, and he wasn't with it. So here's the thing that could have happened for him if he was placed on it. Because if he had settled the cases last year, he would have been a Dolphin and he would have tried to play. Roger Goodell would have stepped in and put him on the exempt list. So the thing about it is this time, if he was on it and they tried to suspend him for a year, if he gave the $10 million back, he would have gotten credit for time served and he would have been eligible to play this entire season.
You think that could be an option? At this point, it seems like they want the money back.
Like, it won't be just because he wasn't on the exempt list. That was a special situation. So the NFL didn't put him on anything. I think they're going to increase it somewhere between 8 and 12. And I do think they're going to come after at least $10 million. I think if they do a year, that's going to be dragged on. I think if it's 8 and 12, he won't fight it.
Yeah. Either way, you can't satisfy everybody, man. They even hated on Jesus. While speaking on Jesus, my boy Lamar referred to Jesus as well the other day in his press conference. Let's talk about him. Let's talk about Lamar, man, because that's the young bull that's waiting. He's waiting to get his money. Man, Lamar, I love Lamar, man. I just don't understand. You know, if you want to represent yourself, be your own agent, I'm all for that. But that comes with, you know, drastic decision making and, you know, being sharp. And, you know, the only thing I will question is, why are you practicing? Why is Lamar Jackson on the field without a new contract? Like, I guess the new thing is holding in instead of holding out. You know, players before in the past wouldn't go to training camp. I guess now, like DK and Debo, they will go, but they're just not practicing, so they wouldn't get fined and stuff like that. Why the hell, dude? One tweak ankle. You know what it made me? You know what? Why I put this on here, Keaton, and what player I've been thinking about lately? And I was like, that shit happened, I believe, in the OTA. He didn't get touched, Teddy Bridgewater, when he fucked up his knee. And I was just like, he didn't get touched. I'm like, bro, like, Lamar, what are you doing, man? Like, if you're going to represent yourself, you got to make smart decisions. Like, you should be holding in right now. He should not be on that field. He makes up for damn near 80-90% of their offense. There's no way I'm playing without a new deal. There's no way I'm on the field without a new deal. And feeling secure.
The only reason.
Fully guaranteed, excuse me. My and Lamar contract need to be fully guaranteed. He an MVP, man. Put some respect on him. Man.
I would say 99 times out of 100, I would agree. The only reason I'm okay with it in this situation is because he is a quarterback and he kind of has the Ravens hostage. So I believe no matter what happens to him, he's going to get paid. That entire team and that entire offense is based around him. It's built around him and his
skill set. If you were his agent, Keaton, would you tell that client, Lamar, knowing his situation, to go practice?
At the quarterback
position? All that money?
Yeah, at the quarterback position, yeah.
I don't know about that one, brother. I think that's negligence.
Quarterback, when you're at his level, you're going to get paid no matter what.
Brother, all it takes is one tweak, man. I'm telling you, seen Jerry, he barely wanted to pay Dak when Dak ass got hurt.
Well, yeah, but Dak is a good quarterback.
He ain't no Lamar.
But that's the point. He's not.
Gotcha.
You, like, and I don't want to minimize Dak, but you have a chance to find another Dak. You don't find guys like Lamar. Like, he's like unanimous MVPs don't grow on trees. He's going to get paid no matter what. And at that position, I just think that you have to play the game differently. And he has the Ravens hostage no matter what. When you're at his level, you have your team, you have your organization hostage.
Yeah.
I think him not practicing only hurts him.
Gotcha. Got anything else on that, on Lamar?
No. I just hope that he balls out and he shuts everyone up. And
I don't want his ass on the field, so my guy get a fully guaranteed. Fully. He need all that. He need every last dollar.
I don't think he'll get the Deshaun Watson deal because I think the owners are going to try and set a precedent and say that was him, that was the Browns being the Browns.
Yeah, no.
I do think he'll get 190 guaranteed.
I don't understand how Kirk Cousins can get two back-to-back contracts in the guaranteed contracts, and the Baltimore Ravens is over here questioning if they should give Lamar.
Bro, Kirk's were what, third? Low to mid 30s.
Well, yeah, it was like in the mid. It was like the low. Yeah, and that was a few years ago. So remember, he was like top three, top five when he signed that first contract. It was like a 2-year or 3-year, 80-something fully guaranteed. It wasn't nothing crazy, but it's still like he getting that fully guaranteed.
Look, we live in a world as two MVPs, and Shaq and Kobe have one. I mean, we live in a very weird world. So
I'll tell you this, brother. I'm Lamar, I'm not signing nothing that ain't fully guaranteed. Not with the way he play. I need every last dollar, bro. I'm sorry. I need everything. I need it all. Y'all not. It's not like y'all went and got me some weapons. I like Bateman though. I feel like he gonna end up being solid. But I lost Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Y'all not going to give me weapons. Like, come on, man. I'm cool. I need every last dollar. Y'all about to run me into the ground.
The only thing that I am curious to know, because I don't think it's about the money. I think it's going to be about the years. What does he want? Does he want a shorter term deal so he can basically like come back? Or because of his play style, does he want a longer term deal? Either way, I think the Ravens, they have a yearly, I think they have a amount of years in mind. And I think that's what it is, honestly, genuinely. I don't believe the Ravens have an issue paying him money. I think it's the years. Whatever he wants, I think that's the disconnect there.
Okay.
Like seriously, like
you genuinely. Think Lamar going for that extra year? Like, you think he going 5-6 and they want to go 4-5?
It could be like Dak, how Dak wanted a 3-3 to 4 and Jerry wanted a 5-5 to 7 year deal.
Well, Jerry was trying to be cheap. He was trying to spread that shit out.
Yeah, no, like that's what I'm saying. So does Lamar want a 3-year deal or does he want
If they go short, they go three. I really need fully guaranteed. Then I need all that. If we're going short with just three,
that's what I'm saying. Like I genuinely don't believe that the money is the issue. I think it's the years. I think that's something that's not discussed. And
if they're going low, I need that A Rod contract. I need like starting out at 150. That's what
we're going to start. Yeah, 100%. But that's all that I got on him.
Yeah. We had two more. We didn't even get to talk about the local teams. We did talk about them last time. I'll save these two topics though. I'll save these two topics for next time. The Derek Carr one and the Jimmy G and Trey Lance. So I had some questions, but I'm gonna save that one. You got anything else though you want to talk about real quick, brother? We straight.
No. So I think next week we have our running back rankings. We have running back rankings.
We knew our
pick. And then
talk about the Hall of Fame game a little bit. I'm actually, bro, that's how you know we miss football. I don't know about it. I know I do, bro. I miss football so bad. I'm excited for tomorrow to watch the Hall of Fame game.
Straight up. Even though Trevor Lawrence isn't playing, yeah. I'm still watching because I think Travis Etienne might play at least like a series. So that'll be really cool to watch.
Have you checked out the Jeter doc yet? The Derek Jeter doc?
I did.
Fire, bro. Hey, it's one of the better sports docs I've seen since like the last. It's up there with The Last Dance for me personally.
I don't think it's as good, but it is up there. You have to check out the Andrew Luck one though. Like, it's not a doc, but it's a podcast series. I'm gonna check that one out.
I heard about the guy that that's hosting it. I heard him on Colin's podcast speaking about it. Send it to me, brother. I'm gonna definitely check that one out. The Derrick Jeter one's fire. And I'm checking out. I started last night. I fell asleep. Have you watched They Call Me Magic yet? Have you watched Magic yet?
No, not yet.
Apple TV got some shit, bro. Apple TV.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah, they got some shit right now, bro. I'm not feeling Netflix. Netflix is trash. Adam Sandler is keeping their lights on right now.
Adam Sandler and Kevin Hart. Hustle was nice, though.
Hustle was nice. Adam Sandler and Kevin Hart is keeping the lights on. The bills pay for Netflix right now, man.
100%.
Everything else is trash. But all right, brother. Well, I'll see you. We'll be back at it in a couple days next week here.
All right. Later, all right, brother.
We play for keeps, Cuddy. You ain't heard about the huddle fire with no with D-Lane. We tryna get it off the muscle. Walters caught the pick and ran it back without a tussle. Blow the whistle, coach. It's time to get back to the huddle.